Check.
Wow.
Sophie, how'd you do that? You muted it, girl. Good job. All right. First, before we get into this, I really think it's important for me to not be I don't like avoiding hard things, okay? Right? I don't like avoiding hard things. And this week, we had a hard thing happen. Two people we really love who've been going through a lot and are hurting very deeply decided to try to control the situation because they felt like they couldn't really control it very much. And Noah and Jillian ran away on Sunday, early Sunday morning. Okay? They have since been picked up. Huh?
It was early Sunday morning.
It was late night. It was late night.
That's what I mean. Like early Sunday morning, like 12 a.m. 12 a.m. is morning.
Monday.
Oh, Monday morning. Oh, you got me. Obviously, I'm tired. So here's the deal. What they did is possible for anybody to do. But not telling you to run away. I'm telling you that we all get into situations that are very hard and we don't like, and sometimes we want to run away. How many of you have ever been in a situation you're like, I need to get out of here? Oh my goodness. All the time, okay? Doesn't mean, just because we feel that way doesn't mean we should do that, okay? What they did, they shouldn't have done. They made a mess. And they're coming back to a mess. So it is important for each and every one of us to be aware of that and to love them well when they get back, okay? Here's the deal. They're going to come back and they're going to talk to people. Especially Noah is going to see people and they're going to be like, way to go, man. You messed that up. I'm serious. They're going to hear that. And that's going to be really, really hard. Okay? Because they were really, really setting their mind on something. And the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. They had a hope. That hope has been crushed. And now they're coming back. That's going to be really, really hard. So I know that some of you have been affected more than others and have been hurt, not just by this situation, but by many things leading into this situation. So I want to acknowledge that, and I just want to beg you to pray for them and love them well when they get back, okay? That's what Christians do. We love each other, and we forgive each other. We support each other, okay? But I think this situation has a lot to do with this piece of scripture that we're going to look at tonight, okay? And tonight, I want to tell you that, first slide, I can't control it, I'm sorry. This is crazy. Everybody say, loco. This is crazy. Here's what I mean, okay? You guys like that loco thing, huh? All right. Here's the thing. What Christians believe is crazy. Well, Christianity is crazy. Okay? Here's what I mean. It doesn't make sense to people when you tell them you're a Christian and then they see you. They talk to you. If you really get to know people and you're honest and you really are following Jesus, by the way, let's throw that out there. They're going to look at you and they're going to think you're crazy. And there's three things in here that I think we learn about how crazy this is, okay? So we're going to start in verse 31. And just so you know, leading into this, Jesus asks his disciples, hey, who do you guys think I am? Who do the people say that I am? And then Peter has a great confession. And he's like, Jesus, you are the Messiah. I'm going to follow you. You're the Messiah. You're the man. And so Jesus is like, hey, good job, Peter. Good job, Pete. Guess what? You're blessed. My Father's shown you this. And then we pick up here in verse 31, and we're gonna see that Peter got a he was like right there, but he's going to make a fool of himself in just a minute. So here's the first thing I want you to understand about how crazy this is. What we believe, this is crazy. The first thing is what we believe. Can we go to that slide, please? What we believe is crazy. Everybody say, believe. Okay, what we believe is crazy. Here's what it says. Verse 31, and Jesus began to teach them. That's his homies. He said, the Son of Man, which is one of the titles that he would use to talk about himself, because that's what they understood to mean as their coming king. That's what the Bible would talk about. And Jesus is like, the Son of Man must suffer many things. So Jesus is saying, I am going to suffer many things. All right, imagine hearing that from your dude, your leader. I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to suffer many things. And then I'm going to be rejected by the elders, not the elderly. Some of the elders were probably elderly, probably most of them. And the chief priests, which are the people who are supposed to be God's main reps. They're supposed to be the ones who don't reject the king. And so then he says, I'm going to be rejected by the scribes, who are the people who know the Bible really well. And then he says, everybody, do you see it up here? What does it say? Say, what's the word? And be what?
Killed.
No adults, Claire. Gosh. Yeah, I broke the first, second rule. So imagine this. Your leader, your king, is like, I'm going to suffer. He says all these things, and he ends with, oh, I'm going to be killed. Like, what? Remember what Peter said earlier. You're the Christ. You're the dude. Okay. And then he says, after 3 days, rise again. All right, it's one thing for someone to say, I'm going to die. By the way, if I say that, I'm telling the truth. I'm going to die, right? One day I will die. But then to say, oh, by the way, 3 days later, I'm going to get back up. Is that crazy? That's crazy. Jesus, you're crazy. That's what they're thinking. And look at verse 32. I love what it says here. He didn't say it with real big words like super fragilistic, catalogist, whatever. Hey, have you ever talked to someone and they're like using words and you're like, what are you talking about? Your English teacher? So there's a difference between saying, I took a nap, and saying, I closed my eyes and I drifted off into the great unknown for 3 hours and like blah, 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 blah. All right, one is speaking plainly and the other one is speaking what? Right? Cryptically. But here's what Jesus, it says Jesus spoke what? He said this. Everybody say, what's it say? He said this plainly. He used normal words so everybody could understand it. And he explained it in a normal way so that nobody would miss it. And then look what it says Peter does. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So rebuke. To rebuke somebody is to say, stop doing that. You're not doing what you should be doing. Right? That's a rebuke. So what did I tell you guys Peter said earlier? Peter was like, you're the Christ. And what did Jesus say to him? Good job, right, Micah? And now Peter's saying the wrong thing and Jesus is rebuking him. And he goes so far as to say this, or what this next thing, it says, verse 33, Jesus turns and sees his disciples. So he's like, my disciples are watching. He really cares. He really wants them to get it. So He rebuked Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Like the Son of God telling a dude, "Get behind me, devil." That's a big deal. And he says, "You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So Jesus, I love how Jesus does this, because let me ask you a question. Do you think Peter's being crazy when he says that? Like, I mean, what would you do in his shoes? What'd you say, John?
Probably think the same thing.
Like, Jesus, don't, what, you idiot, we're starting a revolution, man. We're gonna go storm the castle. Emily's gonna be like your bodyguard, and John's gonna get kick Herod off the throne, and Jesus, you're gonna get up there. Big John's gonna do it. It's like, dude, Jesus, what are you doing? No. Jesus is being a normal.
What's that word?
Man. Okay. But who is Jesus saying? What kind of mindset is Jesus saying that we should have about this whole thing? God's mindset. So here's the deal. The things of God and the things that God wants, the things God desires for you, the things God desired for Jesus to save you are crazy. And when you tell people about the gospel, and you tell people, I've built my entire life on a very weird, awkward Jewish carpenter from a hick town outside of Jerusalem. I've built my entire life on this dude. And hey, yeah, I think he's still alive, even though this was 2,000 years ago. He resurrected from the dead. Like, I believe this, and I'm willing to do anything for this dude, with this dude. They're going to say, you are crazy. Right? Because what we believe as Christians is crazy to the world and to men. So here's a question I want to ask you, knowing this, what we believe is crazy. What do you believe about Jesus? Like, because here's the thing. What you believe dictates your whole life. Do you believe these things about Jesus? Do you? What do you believe? All right, here's the second thing that's crazy. How we live. How we live. At least, let me say it this way. How we're supposed to live. Did you know that when you build a house, you put a foundation down, right? Okay? The foundation could be called what you believe, right? Then everything you build on the house is on top of that foundation. And so everybody sees the house. You don't usually see the foundation. The Wikes are about to get a foundation soon, right? Before they build their house. So, but everything on the top of the foundation is what people see. So what we believe affects how we live. And look at what Jesus says in verse 34. He says, he called the crowd to him with his disciples after he said all these things. And he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." So Jesus is saying, hey, deny myself. But he's saying, hey, I just said this about myself. Peter just said this stuff about me. And I'm telling you, like, I have a really hard assignment. I'm about to go die. And he's saying, if you want to follow me, be my disciple, you have to humble, what does he say? You have to deny yourself. So he's saying you're going to have things and desires, dreams that are from your flesh, that are man-like, and you're going to have to deny those things. And I say this because we want certain things. Noah and Jillian made a decision because they wanted something. Okay? They wanted something. And they have had multiple people telling them not to go after that thing. Multiple people in this room, including me. Now, they've also had some other things that have been very, very difficult and very, very hard. But just because we have hard and difficult things doesn't mean we need to medicate and pursue other things with things we want. Sometimes we just trade medicine for a different medicine. That's what this boils down to. And as Christians, we have to learn that most of the things we desire, that our flesh desires, are lying to us. And they hurt us. And they destroy us. They take us away from God. Jesus is saying, like, you got to follow. If you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross, follow me. Whoever would save his life. Jesus is saying, whoever would save his life will lose it. Meaning, if you're just worried about making sure your life is what you think it should be and having your life be what you think is really life, you're going to be disappointed because eventually it's going to fall down and it's going to crumble and you're not going to get what you thought you were getting. But he says, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. He's not telling us, he's not just saying like the gospel is worth dying for. He's saying the gospel's worth living for. That's what he's saying. It's like building your entire life, denying yourself, dying to your desires. The gospel's worth it. Jesus is worth it. And in fact, there is where we're going to really find what we were made for. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All those things are wonderful. Those are fruits of the Spirit. But dude, what I love is love and joy. And I love peace. So anyway, how we live is crazy because if you're going to deny yourself in this world, people are going to say to you, what the heck are you doing? What are you doing? You want that? You should go for it. You want all that money? Go get it. Go do it. Oh, beloved, please know your body, your flesh, even your mind at times lies to you. And people are going to look at you when you follow Jesus, and they're going to look at your life if you truly follow Jesus, and they're going to be like, dude, you are crazy. I remember you said something about Jesus, but you're going to actually like sacrifice many of the things you want for Jesus? That's crazy. So here's a question I want you to think about. How do you live? Now, small and big, how do you live? Like, is your life marked by, if anyone would lose his life, they'll take it up? Like, or is your life marked by denying yourself? Is your life showing these things? Does your life show that Jesus is better than those things? How about this? Let's not just go about like what people see. What about your desire? Like, do you desire God? And if you don't desire God, hey, I love you. That's okay. But maybe we should talk to God about that. Maybe we should pray about that. Maybe we should see what he wants to do with that. So the second thing that's crazy is how we live. Third thing that is crazy is what we expect as Christians, what we expect. Verse 36, this is the last section. It says, for what does it profit a person, to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? He's saying that you can get everything your flesh wants. You can get everything this world offers you and then lose the most important thing in existence, like your soul, like you're not just a body, you are also a soul. I used to think you weren't a body, you're a soul, but the reality is you are, like, God knows you in whole. And in fact, we don't talk about this a lot, but did you know the end of, like, the eternity for a Christian is not spent in heaven? Do you know where it's spent? That's true. Dude, Micah, say that.
A new earth.
Yeah, but what merges with it?
Heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven and earth come together, the Bible says. Like, you're going to be resurrected. Guess what you're going to be resurrected in?
What do I have here?
Cross.
No, a body. Golly. Oh, wow. You're going to get a resurrected body. But the resurrected body is not going to be messed up with sin like ours is now. Like, it's going to be renewed, recreated. Like, that's what our promise is. So 36, let me read it again. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul, the essence of who he is, like his life force? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Like you can't, all the things that this world gives you, you can't just use those and buy a soul. It's not how it works. And then he makes more, he expands it. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous, meaning the, so adultery is when a married couple, one of the people in the couple, goes and acts like another person is their, the person they're married to. So, yes, it's cheating. And Jesus is talking about this generation that he's talking to, these people who are supposed to be married to God, people who are cheating on God. And he's saying this generation, this sinful generation, and honestly, that's every generation, really. Every generation is like this. And he says, whoever's ashamed of me, Jesus, and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man, me, also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So this is what Jesus is saying. It's not just about if somebody says, hey, are you a Christian? And you say,
yes.
That's not what Jesus is talking about. How easy is it to say that? Hey, are you a Christian?
Yes.
How easy is it to say that? Okay. Like, hey, are you a Christian?
Indeed.
Okay. All right. Now, how easy is this, though? Hey, John.
Yeah.
You know that thing you've been spending your whole life chasing after and wanting? That's not what God wants for you. He's got something better for you. And he wants you to chase him and what he's going
to
give.
Am I supposed to say no?
No, but I want to ask you, how easy is it to do the thing I'm saying?
It's hard. It took me a long time.
It's so hard. Jesus isn't just talking about what you say. He's talking about where your heart is and what's coming out of your heart. He's talking about the core of who you are. Like, are you ready to chase that instead of that? Does that make sense? Because here's where we're all headed. I'm going after this. I'm going after this. And Jesus is back there saying, hey, I'm better. Come over here. And you literally have to die to your desire to go that way and repent, meaning turn around and go towards him. That's what it means to die to yourself. And Jesus is saying, that is denying Jesus if you don't do that. No, not saying, no, I'm not a Christian. No, I'm not a Christian. I mean, that is important. You need to say it, but it's more than what you say. And then the last verse, and this is what's really cool. He says, he said to them, truly I say to you. The word truly mean in the Greek, guess what that word is? Well, it's where we get the word amen. You know, what do we say after we pray most of the time? Amen. It means so be it, truly. It's not a magic word. We're essentially saying, truly, God, I mean what I say, truly, truly. So be it. He says, truly, I say to you, I'm honest, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. This is what's really cool, because Jesus is saying, okay, there is still power in what we're about. And his disciples have followed him. There is one who is not going to stay with him. Who is it? Who is the one who betrays Jesus?
Judas.
Okay. So here's the deal. I think there are two ways we're supposed to interpret this. The first way is going to be in the next week's talk, when Jesus goes up the mountain and he gets, they call it, transfigured. And then his buddies that are up there with him see, like, his face shining and, like, glory. Like, glory, glory, glory. Glory, right? That's what's next, okay? That's what's next. But here's the deal. There's a lot of people who think that's what Jesus is talking about. I think he could be talking about it. But does anybody know what happens after the resurrection and Jesus ascends into heaven? What happens next? in the book of Acts. That's later, later.
The tongues of flame or whatever.
Yeah, you got it, dude.
The flaming tongues.
Flaming tongues. That's a band name. Say it again.
The flaming tongues.
That's our new band name. But that's what happens. After Jesus ascends, he makes he said, Spirit's going to come, power's going to come. You will have power. You will be my witnesses. So Jesus, the whole time he's been on the earth, this whole time he's like, kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. The whole ministry of Jesus is him saying that. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then those disciples go up the mountain and they see, they get a taste, they get a peek. Holy cow, Jesus is glory. They see that. They're like, glory, holy cow. And then after it's all said and done, after they've been through, forgive me, they go through hell. It's so hard. It's watch someone they love brutally murdered. And then he resurrects from the dead. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit comes in power and the kingdom of God blasts into the world and people get saved. And now we're experiencing that. The one who missed it was Judas, sadly. So with all that said, we are expecting something even better. They expected for power to come. They expect glory to come. We expect glory to come. We also should expect that power will be with us as we live this life with Christ. Like, guys, gals, everybody say this word, supernatural. All right, I'm going to tell you guys something, and I want you to pay attention. Like, please just hear me. I want you to know about Jesus. I want you to hear about Jesus, but I want to tell you something. The Christian life is crazy. It does not make sense. It is supernatural. Okay? What we have as Christians and what we are experiencing as Christians should be supernatural. We should expect the power of God in our witness. We should expect God to talk to us. We should expect God to answer and hear our prayers. We should expect that. And we should expect the reward for all that we've experienced. We should expect Jesus to come back for us, resurrect us from the dead. When I die, I know I will live again. We should expect that. So I want to ask you, what do you expect from the Christian life? If you are a believer in this room, and I believe, like I know there's some in this room that haven't fully placed their faith in Jesus. I'm not looking at you because of that. I'm just saying I know there's some of us in there. There has to be. But here's the deal. I think most of us in this room believe Jesus. But what are we expecting of him? Well, yes. Is that a bad thing? Trick question. Not necessarily. Sometimes it is. When is it a bad thing? When we're not denying ourselves. Like if we're chasing after the world, we can't expect God to answer prayer and do miraculous things. But if we are chasing after him, we should expect it. We should expect him to answer prayer and even comfort us when we need it or help us when we need it. So, what do you expect? With that said, I did not make any grow group questions because it was a hard day. So here's what I'm going to do. We're missing Gus and Savannah. Everybody say, oh no. All right, we're missing Mary. Everybody say, oh no. We're missing, and we're going to be missing Miss Nicole and Miss Lacey for a while at Web Kids. Everybody say, oh no. We're going to be missing. Where is he? Here I am. Okay, and we're missing Miss Cassidy and Mr. Ben. Everybody go. Oh, no. I'm more disappointed we don't see Carter and Augie. Ugh. So I'm going to just call it tonight. I'm sorry. I wanted y'all to have grow group time, but I didn't have time to make the questions. Unless y'all want to make your own questions. I'm not going to put it on you. It's on me. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I want, if you want to talk more about this, I'm up here. I want to pray with you. I love you. Is there a student in here who wants to pray for us?
Ellie does.
What? No, I don't.
All right, say your name.
Hello, my name is Philip Sanook.
Yeah, Philip, will you pray for us, bro?
Yes, sir.
All right, Philip, pray for us.
Dear God, we thank you that we had a good day today, and we thank you that, that
Jesus is alive,
and
ask him to send his power to us.
And ask him to send his power to us.
Yes, God, send your power to us. Thank you, God. Thank you for Philip.
Yeah, thank you for everyone that come in today.
Yes, and we pray you bless everyone.
Mm-hmm.
God, would you show us what we need to release? And so that we can receive what you want to give. Yes, God. And would you bless Jillian and Noah?
And yes, God, will you bless Jillian and who?
Noah. We ask you to protect them. We ask you to show them you love them.
We ask him to show you that you love them.
And help us to be good friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, you guys can go get some snacks if there's